This is 16.9 The Podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 16.9 has been covering the digital signage industry for more than 12 years, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon and into what stuff means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. You can listen to episodes online, get them off iTunes or Google Play, or subscribe using a podcast app. Whatever way you choose, they're free and there's a new one weekly. The 16.9 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported from the start by Jeremy Gavin and his team at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. Retail is one of the most chased vertical markets in all of digital signage. But if you ask people who really know this tech, but also really know retail, they'll tell you they've rarely seen it done well or right. A company called InStore Screen has been chasing retail for many years and has learned what's needed and works and developed a product that specifically fits the retailer and consumer brand ask. It does screens that fit into the sight lines, limited space, and operating realities of grocery, drug, and mass merchandise. The high-resolution screens enable a kind of full-motion, eye-grabbing content that drives impulse purchases. InStore Screen's core product is custom-manufactured, pixel-dense LCD screens that fit easily into things like grocery aisle end caps. Based in Hong Kong, the company has some top-tier customers like Whole Foods, which is using end cap screens in its new-built stores to explain products and drive sales. I spoke with Henrik Andersen, the founder and CEO of the 15-year-old company. Henrik, thanks for joining me. We've known each other for some time now. Best way to start is tell me something about your company, what it does, and how it's different from what else is out there.
Yes, InStaScreen is about 15 years old and has been working on, instead of working like inside out, we have been working a lot like outside in. That means that we have been looking at the issues, the problems, the designs, and instead of offering a solution that we have in stock or something that we have instead like turned it around and looked at how can we get the right product to the right customer, to the right functionality. That has been the key thing for InStaScreen since it starts. So we have been very, very, very big when it comes to like customized solutions.
Right. So a lot of the problem that we've seen in the past is, particularly in retail, is trying to get a 32-inch screen or a 10-inch screen or whatever it is that's already prefabricated and fit it into an end cap or fit it along an aisle, even though it doesn't really, or it looks out of place.
Yeah. It has been projects like, if we say like lottery customers, we have been working very closely before with like IGT, G-Tech, and then when it comes to like having a monitor placed in a convenience store, it has to fit, it has to take up desk space. How can we combine that? Then we have built a unit that can hold pens and hold things at the same time. So we have built the whole structure. We have done things for Adidas, for example, where the screen, the physical shoe is combined into one case.
Huh. How do you do that?
We did an 11.6-inch screen on the top. We built a bigger metal enclosure, went down more like a U, and we put lights, and we put the shoe underneath, so the lights were glowing against the shoe.
So if I was to walk into a store and go up to an end cap or a gondola, as I think you guys tend to describe them, I'm going to see shelving unit with LCD screens embedded above and onto the shelving strips. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah. This is our latest development. This has been ongoing development for almost 5 years. We have been working extremely close with all the glass manufacturers that produce the glasses for LCDs to be able to get something that can be retrofitted into the retail environment. One of the key things that we got when we started this was that we have to look into brightness, we had to look into colors, we had to look into resolution. That was the most important part. Most of it was resolution. So what we have done, we have been working extremely close to Intel to be able to get like hardware to run the screens in a good way. We have been working with the panel manufacturers, the glass manufacturers, to be able to get the right size so it doesn't look like you place a TV on top of the fixtures in the stores.
Right. So a lot of your stuff is the LCD glass has been cut in some way to, you know, make it super, super wide, that sort of thing. Like they're not normal aspect ratios at all, right?
They are not normal aspect ratios. And the first thing we did when we started this project about 5 years ago was using cut panels. We worked with like Lightmax and those guys to be able to get the right sizes. Today, we have moved away totally from the cut technology and we go native. So these panels are different aspect ratio, but they are produced as native panels.
Ah.
The big difference here is that if you look at the cutting technology, then you take like a 40-inch screen, you put it in a machine, and you cut away a part of the glass. When you cut away a part of the glass, you open the cells. Then you have to close the cells again. This will give not consistency in quality. So if you have like 10 screens and they are very close to each other, you can see differences. And also it's a quite complex technology to do. So in large volumes, it's very hard to do many. So these new ones are native, produced by, we have been working with BOE, AUO, Innolux. And each of them have done one product, and we are putting that together. And then we have developed the driving system. So, for example, the driving board inside of the units, from one computer, you can run up to 24 screens. That will save you a lot of money, like in computers and also in software license fees, those kind of things.
Right. Interesting. So I would imagine right now, because you developed this, but you don't see them everywhere. The production runs are fairly small.
Yeah, it's still very new. Some of the units we have right now is not in MP yet, mass production. What we have that we have mass in mass production now is a 2-foot shelf edge displays. We have a 3-foot header. We have a 3-foot shelf edge display. And the biggest product that comes out now is the 4-foot header that's going to be the one that everybody's asking for.
This is 4 feet?
Yeah.
That's 4 feet wide?
4 feet wide with the resolution of 3,840 by 720.
And so that would essentially be a topper that would go the full width of a typical end cap?
Yes, yes. And it's already ordered, and the first two stores will be deployed mid-October for Whole Foods.
Whole Foods, okay. So that's a pretty good brand to start with.
Yeah. Now, Amazon and Whole Foods has been an early adapter. They have been on us since we showed this the first time for about 2 years ago, and they said this is something we want to deploy into the stores.
And how are they using it?
They are having them on all their end caps. So they have about 8 end caps in the stores where they have the headers, and they are promoting their own product brands.
Okay. And is the goal just for branding, or are they seeing, is the intention to see tangible sales lifts?
It is sales lift. Most of when it comes to like at least like Whole Foods and those kind of stores, they are selling their products by explaining how nutrition works. There are no strange things, no conservatives, organic, raised, thing like that. To catch the attention of the buyer that, look, this is good for you.
Right. And these are not stupid, bug-eyed people. They would not be investing that kind of money unless they've got a very clear return sort of modeled out for this.
I see a clear connection now when I see the newer content coming, where I see that they're combining the Amazon and they're combining the Whole Foods. So okay. I can see now that, for example, if you're on Amazon Prime, you get 10% discount in Whole Foods. And also you will be able, if you're like walking in Whole Foods, you will be able to get offers what you can get online on Amazon. So I see this screen is helping them to get more like everybody has been talking about, the endless aisle, where the store is not, it's not ending where the cashier is. Now you can do more sales, and you can get like your Apple computer delivered to like your Whole Foods or something. I really don't know what's going to go on in the future, but everybody's trying to get the online retail and the regular retail to work together as one.
Mm-hmm. Screens in retail has been done for as long as digital signage has been around, and hasn't really been that much success. I think in part because a lot of it has been advertising driven. But there have been screens at end caps. There have been screens in line and aisle shelves and so on. Why is what you're doing different?
The big difference is that we have made screens that fits into the environment. That's easy to install. We have been working with Lois Year and Maddox and those guys to be able to make the screens. So it takes like 10 minutes to install. TVs, if we look at the regular 16:9 TV, people see that as a TV. And by using special sized and replacing like a regular print ad, and also think it is a replacement of the print ad you have. It's nothing that you need to make as a TV ad. I think that the content is probably where it becomes most important here, where they have to think different. Mm-hmm. We have been working with multiple projects when it comes to like checkout screens, comes with like advertising screens in the store. Most of the time, I think the biggest problem is that they are misplaced. I grew up in Sweden. Sweden is a very early adapter when it comes to screens. I reacted many times when I saw a big screen on my way out from the store promoting that they have like beef tenderloin for $10.99. I was already by the cashier. Yeah. I will not turn around. You have to get close to the product and you have to explain the product. See it as not an LCD TV screen. You have to make a movie of Santa Claus drinking some soda. See it as explaining the product, make it look cold and nice to buy, to bring home. It's basically the content. You probably have seen like ice cream advertising on TV when they take a nice ice cream, it's cold, and they take a spoon in it, and so you really want that ice cream. That's the same kind of feeling you want to do in retail, because the thing is that there are two different type of advertising. You have the advertising on TV where they tell the customer, next time you come to the store, buy me. In retail, we have to change that to be like, now you're in my store, buy me.
Mm-hmm. And that obviously the brands are starting to understand that more.
It's coming more and more because we're getting the screens closer to the products. And that's the key. Now we get a header, and that header will be right by the product. We have a shelf edge that's right by the product. The shelf edge can communicate with the POS software, so you can get like dynamically updated pricing. All that is already built.
And you are doing, I believe, analytics, right?
We are doing analytics. Yes, we have three partners we are working with that are doing analytics. We ourselves is not the software company.
Okay.
We have been working with Acquire in Reality and Visibility.
Oh, okay. And are those camera-based ones?
Camera-based ones, yes.
All right.
And we're also working with different other types of sensors. We have the camera sensor. We have RFID. We have a weight sensor. For like inventory management, and we also have a camera sensor for inventory management. So we are trying to work with all different type of sensors in the market. We have been working very close with Zebra Technologies to see what's coming, how we can combine technologies, how we can get it easier for the retailer.
Yeah, and that's where this stuff really starts to shine, is if you can multitask the technology investment. So it's not just trying to get people to buy stuff, but if it's also sensing inventory levels on the shelf and going back to the central office or the management office and saying, hey, we're down to 10%. This needs a restock.
Yeah. And also things like loyalty cards. Most of the loyalty cards today has an RFID chip in them. So theoretically, if we have an RFID reader in the screens, we can see where the customer walks in the store. We can also give them special offers based on their profiles. So it could say, "Hi, Dave, Coca-Cola, buy two and get two free from us today." And that could be like pushed to you. Another thing we're working very hard on is like dynamic coupons. Instead of having those printing coupons, you just get a coupon on the screen. You scan it with your phone. And when you go to the and that bounces to your loyalty card. When you go to the cashier, you use your coupon.
Let me back up. Who is making the decision around this? I know that you said Whole Foods is investing in your technology, but I would imagine a lot of cases it's the brand that's doing so and not the retailer. So how does, if it's a brand, how do they work with a retailer's loyalty program?
They have two different customers. We work with both of them. We work both with the CPG, the brand, and the retailer today. Whole Foods so we are working almost like 99.9% with partners. So when it comes to like Whole Foods, our main partner in that project is Mood Media, who runs a lot of retail stores. What they do is that they are having that to either promote their own product or be able to uplift sale on a different product. When it comes to CPGs, they take care of themselves and then they buy a section. So they buy like, I want that end cap in that store for this amount of time, and they make the investment. We have, for example, Pepsi in Mexico, who made that with Walmart in Mexico for Doritos, where they basically bought their locations and put these units out.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
And do they put them in full-time, or are they still kind of temporary exhibits?
They put them in full-time, and then they can cycle brands. So they buy a location. You know, they go in and say, I want that location to buy, like, aisle three. This one is owned by us, Pepsi. And then they can get, like, Doritos products, Olay products, and they can get Pepsi products. They will have that as their permanent stand.
And I would imagine in most cases with retailers, particularly something like a Walmart, that they vastly prefer that the capital investment for these things is made by the brand.
Yeah, that trend I have seen as well. I don't know if I agree on it, because if I were a brand and I could get my spot in a upsell area for my 3 months instead of investing it for like years, I think I prefer renting that space from the retailer.
Yeah, the retailer just puts that infrastructure in, then they can sell it off to the highest bidder, just the way they do end caps right now, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's how I think it's going to be the future, because the solution we are building right now, we have some competitors as well. And if you go into a store and you have like multiple environments in there, it doesn't get clean. You know, one of the key things that we built this solution for, it looks clean. It doesn't look like it's oversized. It fits in. Look at airports today. You get scared when you see like multiple colors of screen side by side because they're running out of, they cannot get like a black one. Now they get a silver one and then you get a gray one. You want to have that nice environment. Like if you go into like Sephora stores and so on, they're a very nice environment. You feel like welcome in there.
The history of digital signage, if I go back 10, 15 years, one of the big problems with grocery in particular and mass merchandise is those stores were built not anticipating the amount of available electricity that would be demanded. So there wasn't power built into the floor, and you ended up with power cable drops from the ceiling, and it just basically looked ugly. Is that changing now because we're 10, 12 years on, and the retailers, as they refresh stores, they understand they need to get power all over the place?
Most of the powers are dropped either in the floor or from the ceiling by end caps. We saw this as a very early that we had to solve also the power distribution solution. So we invented something called Intrack. Intrack is a patented InstaScreen product. It's a track system that moves low power voltage, but in higher amperage. So we are moving up to like 30 amp in a track system. So we can, from the drop in the end cap, cover a whole aisle with power behind. The Intrack moves 12 volt inside of the track, but has two different connectors. One that's a 12 volt connector and one is a 5 volt connector. So that steps down the power from 12 to 5. That means that you can run everything from LCD screens to lights from that track system.
Oh, okay. And you mentioned that an install takes 10 minutes or so. I assume that means you've made this, along with the Intrack system, you've made it very modular and self-contained.
Yeah, it's more or less like adding a shelf to a fixture. You know, you get the shelf, you hang it up. That's what you have to do. The configuration is basically on the computer side, but the monitor side, it's just plug and play, get the power into works. And the mounting and everything fits into all standard fixtures in the market in US and Europe.
I've seen sort of strip LCDs around for a few years now. And when I've asked the integrator or reseller, distributor, whoever, who was showing them at some trade show, how much is this? They either didn't know or they were very sheepish about it. And once you finally got it out of them, it was like crazy expensive. And you'd walk away thinking, well, that looks cool, but that dog don't hunt. Is it now at a point where with mass production or volume production, it doesn't give the brand or the retailer a heart attack?
Yeah, it has dropped a lot. If we go back to the cutting solution, if you want to have a shelf strip and you want it to be like, we said that you want it to be 2 foot long. That's probably around a 24-inch screen that you need to use. That means you have to buy a 24-inch screen. You have to cut a piece in the bottom away from it. The rest you have to throw. That's waste. You can only get one from one panel. So you cannot multiply it. That means that you have to pay for a 24-inch to get that, plus all the labor to cut it, new backlight. That ends up in like probably like, just panel-wise, $700 for like the panel. Then you have to add boards and everything to it. So it's probably up in like $1,000 until you're finished for like a small shelf strip. Now when we make everything native, our goal is to have a shelf strip in 2 foot for around between $300 and $400.
Okay. Yeah, so that's manageable. Yeah, they can build a model around that.
Yeah. And why we are still a little bit high, as I think, is because we have to use more advanced technology in the driver board. And that's because if you go into a store and you put up like 30 shelf edge displays, I don't think you should have 30 computers. That's going to be much more expensive. So it's better we add technology into the unit so we can, from one unit, drive up to those 30.
And when you're doing that, I've seen some of the videos, and they're not running the same piece of video on the different strips. So it's pushing out different feeds to different displays?
Yeah. What it does is that it's similar to like a video wall. So it's the same technology as a video wall. So if you look at a resolution of 1920x1080, and you see the resolution as a whole thing, and you have a shelf screen that's a 1920x168, that only takes the part to the top. So as many screens you fit into that hole, that's how many screens that will be showing off on the shelf.
Okay, so you could just target the different pixel areas of a 1080 displayed, and they'll show on the different LCDs that mark that area.
Yeah, so it's very easy, just a zoning. On each screen, the first screen will take the top, the second screen will take the one that starts from 159 and so on. So by using a 4K player, that's why you come up to a lot of units.
Okay. You mentioned early on in our chat that resolution was a big, big deal. I've been to trade shows for the last 2-3 years and started to see DirectView LED marketed as retail shelf strips, and thought, first of all, the things aren't rugged, so the LED chips are going to get knocked off. But second, the resolution, it just doesn't look very good.
No. If we do a comparison, it's more, not only the resolution. If we do a comparison, if we say like you have a 4-foot LED header, you probably are in around 500-600 lights, pixels going left to right, and about 40 pixels, 50 top going down.
Uh-huh.
That's the resolution. So you have a 500 by a 50. If you say the resolution of our header right now, it's 3,840 by 720. So it's a really big difference.
Yeah. So maybe with certain pieces of motion graphics, maybe it doesn't matter so much, but as soon as you want to get into detail or show some text or anything else, those LEDs looks crappy.
Yeah, you cannot show a logo in a correct way. You have to have oversized lettering. You cannot, it's done for long distance viewing.
Yeah.
So if you see these units from long distance, they're good. If you see them for close distance, they're not very good. We were on our way to start working with the LED technology as well. And why we stopped doing that was because of the power usage. If you look at our R48-inch top screen, we are using around 90 watt total. And if you look at LED, we are close to 500 watts.
Oh.
So if we say like that, if you take, and that's only the top screen, our smaller screens only use like 30 watt. So that's nothing. So if you take like a whole store with like 10 end caps and put this up, you're up in only the top screens is 5,000 watt. And then you have the shelf strips, and they also take a lot of power. We estimated you're up in like 10,000 watt. 10,000 watt is that you have to install a new air condition unit, a smaller air condition unit. That's much heat.
Yeah, and I don't think people think in that way. They think of LED as low energy, very energy efficient and so on, but they don't realize that you got to pack a whole bunch of them and you're looking at each individual LED.
Exactly. So that's the problem.
Because the irony is your LCDs are, I assume, LED backlit, but they use a fraction of LEDs.
Yeah, it's an LED bar. So we say that we probably have like, in like the 48, we probably have like 20 to 30 LEDs.
Mm-hmm.
And they have 500 times 50, that many type of many LEDs.
Wow, I hadn't thought about that at all. What about interactive? Are you doing any interactive touch overlays on these units, or do you leave the interactivity to things like sensors?
No, that's something we have been working with. We have been looking into adding sensors. We haven't. We have done it on our small, called InShelf 88. We have added that touchscreen to see how it works, if people will use it and so on. And I think somewhere in next year, we will have touch on the unit as well. We have a glass front touch, so it's very easy to clean with Windex and so on. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think we would be able to do it.
Where are you based? Are you in Florida? Am I thinking that right?
I'm based in Florida, yes. And we have manufacturing in Shanghai and in Mexico City.
Ah, okay. But the company itself is based in, where in Florida?
Head office is in Hong Kong.
Oh, okay. And what's the nature of the company? You mentioned it's been around for 15 years. Are you a private company?
Yeah, we are a private company.
How many people?
We are about 78, so we're not many.
Oh, really? Wow, that's for digital signage, that's a decent-sized company.
No, we are the manufacturer. So if you compare us to our competitors like Samsung, LG, and them, we are very small.
Yeah, you're nothing to them. But nonetheless, you're specialized, which is very important these days.
We own the parts, so we own the glass, we own the driver board, and we also use like large assembly factories. So our engineers tells the assembly factories what to do. So we work with companies like Astrotech, Foxconn. We have some other smaller assembly factories that takes our design and build it exactly as we want. And we have engineers overlooking the whole process.
Okay. All right. So if people want to find out more about InStore Screen, how do they find you online and where would they find you at like a trade show?
Yeah, we will be at NRF. Right now it's set up that we will be in Intel's booth at NRF. And we're also working with two other suppliers that want to have us in their booth. Otherwise, they can go to our website, www.instorescreen.com, and reach out to us from there.
All right. Henrik, thanks very much for taking some time with me today.
Thank you very much. I hope it was good.
No.
Okay.
That was great.
Okay.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around for more than 2 years. You can click around the archive and find more than 100 conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9 at 16-9.net. There are now more than 6,000 posts in there about this industry. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside beautiful, amazing Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.